Well, you, okay, you have the Oxford Press. That indicates that it came out of England. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Is it, what version?
The King James Version.
Oh, hot dog. How many of you in here have a King James Version? Well, King James must not be too popular today. Do you think King James, a monarch who ruled almost all of the world at the time the King James Version was written, wrote it? He had it translated so that it would fit his needs. How many have a living Bible? Tell me, give me some names here. The what Bible?
Can you say that louder, please?
It's the Holy Bible from the ancient Eastern text, George M. Lonser's Aramaic of the Peshitta.
Well, that is really impressive, Desiree.
I wasn't impressed.
How many of you even know who wrote your Bible?
The American Bible Society. Good News Bible.
I have The Way by Tyndale Press.
Do you realize if you go into a Christian bookstore, you're going to get 300 versions of the Holy Bible? Now you go to church on Sunday and they have doctrines in their church, don't they? And they will tell you God set these doctrines. Well, did he set all 300 or just that one? And then they will say, all right, to be a member of this congregation, you must believe every word in this book. Oh, I do, I do, I do, and I will face east to say it. Please, I am not making fun of the book. I am not making fun of your spirituality. I am trying to get you to think. You must think. God gave man one masterful gift that sets you aside as the most perfect of creation. Free will choices and the ability to reason. And you've turned your power over to somebody called King James. That's what hurts me. What's wrong with God? What's wrong with God? You are the living image of Him. And every last one of you was birthed in total, total perfection of spirit. That's what the image of God means. Not some face. The light of God. You were the perfect light of God and immediately started going downhill. I want you to look at the other books that you brought. Because you couldn't find perfect peace within the pages as expressed to you. You're still seeking. You're still seeking. You don't realize when you found, you have sought for it for so long. And it's fine. Because what did I say? What does God do? He urges you to see it all. I did not say experience it all. There are laws given by God for human species. Those are the commandments. To every planet housing human species, there are a set of rules. To live in total balance and harmony on a planet. and this planet of yours was created for 500 million people. I'd say somebody botched it up pretty bad. But let me tell you what the elite one world government is going to do. And they're already doing it. They're going to reduce it. No longer 6.5 billion people. They are planning. It is written, and your president has spoken it. In the Global 2000 plan for the New World Order, there will be 550 million people, period. Now, how much help do you think you're going to get curing AIDS? And when AIDS is gone, it's anthrax. In Europe, right now, with those missiles that went from China to Iran, that were all the hullabaloo, you know, you should get your stealth technology from China. You had a whole fleet out there, and you couldn't find one confounded ship. They must have good phantom stealth qualities. Those are capable of shooting anywhere intercontinentally. And they can fire computerized to a pinpoint, blink of an eye, a nuclear-powered missile, and they're all tipped with anthrax. And they are set to explode and scatter. That's your new wonderful technology. And guess what? You gave it to the Chinese. And it came from Korea. There would be absolutely no purpose in this journey if there were not reincarnation. None. The physical experience is for learning. You are birthed knowing the laws of God. What will you do with it? What will you do as you encounter all of these myriads of problems? I'll go to war and I'll get my Uzi machine gun. They have pulsed phasers now. You have the KGB and the Mossad training your police academies. You're getting ready to march right into the global government and the armed forces of the United Nations, which will be headed by a communist. It is written in the United Nations Charter. You signed the charter, or your president did, in your name. And a treaty stands above all things in your government. And you made a treaty with the United Nations. You no longer serve the Constitution of the United States of America. You just haven't heard it yet. But they're telling you every day, aren't they? They're telling you that they have the media fixed, and they tell you exactly what they want you to see and what you are to hear. And you can't get anybody on the air that speaks the truth. So why do they let us live in this community? They don't like it because they know we've got more power. What a sorry state of affairs. They also know that we will not use it, because that would be violating your right as a human. And you must find your way to God in your actions. Well, we'll take up arms. You see, there are some groups around that get you citizenized in a state, and therefore you're no longer liable to the federal government. That's fine. except the federal government has a new set of rules, and it's called the New States of America. And that divides you into 10 districts and does away with state and county lines. And they already use it. You're in district so-and-so here. That is for their purposes. Well, you're hitting pretty hard, aren't you? And you're going to scare me. I hope so. I certainly hope so, because I want to demonstrate something else. I mean, I did bring all this stuff here. Well, I didn't quite bring it here. I got an argument about that. Oberle thought if I wanted it here, I should have brought it here. I want to just, when we talk about God and Space Command or somebody on the other end of a telephone or transcribing and transmitting and receiving, I would like to have a little demonstration with you. And then there is a bit that I want you to watch on the television. And again, I'm going to have to prod her a little. I would like a show of hands of the number in this room who watched C-SPAN 22 and the Patriot congressional hearings. They've shown it 3 times this week. And I'm only, in a minute, I'm only going to play like the first 10 minutes of the chairman's speech, because now the hearing is over and the results are in. And they found that they lied to you. I let him tell it. What about this box? All of you can see it, can't you? It's there. We're not playing David Copperfield, although wouldn't we like to? We just gathered up one, Georgia, like this. All of you should like it. I wish that I had time to play all of these through. Because in a minute you're going to see the man who could make a change in your world. Unfortunately, it probably will not happen, because he never even gets on television. And this man comes out of a background of CIA Special Forces, and he had to learn the very hardest way.
Very quickly is something that I feel is more heinous than the Bataan Death March. Certainly, it is of more concern to you as Americans than the Watergate.
Does that make him go away? He's not in this room. This is Khun Sa, head of the greatest heroin cartel in the world, the Golden Triangle, and he was going to deal with Colonel Grimes. But I didn't put this up here for that reason. I just wanted to demonstrate. Did that make it go away? Let's drape it in the flag. Let's make it go away.
I suppose you know the theory about the refrigerator light too, huh?
Yes. All you Weight Watchers. Check that refrigerator light all night. Well, I tell you one thing we did. We made the machinery disappear. All right, let's see what else I can do.
Americans were lost and lost. Not one of them ever came
home. Well, I'll tell you. This is the one worthy of this man. But this isn't what we're here to talk about.
With honor, all of the prisoners are home, and a few other lives. Now we got rid of that president.
I ought to make you stay here.
We didn't get rid of the problem. We ran the war in Laos and Cambodia.
I'll just stop it. Well, there must be some way. I cannot handle your primitive equipment. I want you to listen to what these turkeys tell you. In fact, I'll shut up so you can hear it.
And to study the success rate of
this is today.
In a meeting that lasted nearly 6.5 hours, the subcommittee heard from congressional investigators who have reviewed the Gulf War data, as well as officials from the Defense Department and the Raytheon Corporation, one of the manufacturers of the Patriot system. We take you now to the Rayburn House Office Building for our coverage of Tuesday's proceedings, which were gaveled to order by Democratic Congressman and Committee Chairman John Conyers of Michigan.
Understand too that it fell into total disarray after this. Nothing came off in order. And the political ones put in all of their political nonsense.
Subcommittee will come to order. Good morning. This hearing will present the results of the subcommittee's 5-month investigation into the performance of the Patriot missile system in the Gulf War. The investigation is complex and fascinating. It's a story of how we projected what we wanted to believe onto the TV screen. It's about how a government can manipulate our understanding by controlling information and media access. And it's about how government can misuse secrecy and classification to hide the truth. During the war, we all watched the televisions in awe. We thought we saw the Patriots streaking skyward, destroying every Scud that came in range. We saw the fireballs. We heard the explosions. We saw the jubilation of the troops. And we heard the pride in officials' voices as they announced day after day, Scuds intercepted and destroyed. We were and still are proud of our troops who put their lives on the line. We were and still are proud of the defense workers who worked hard and effectively to build a Patriot, some of whom have since been laid off. We thought the Patriot missile was perfect. We were wrong. As Sherlock Holmes said, we see, but we do not observe. As a result of the subcommittee's investigation, we now have a much clearer picture of what happened a year ago in the Gulf War. Ironically, the more information we have, the less successful the Patriot seems. I can summarize a few of the preliminary conclusions of this investigation. We know that the classified assessment the Army has given for the past year to top administration officials and members of Congress is wrong. We know that the Army evaluation that backed up that briefing is deeply flawed. As a result of our investigations, we now know that the previous claims of Patriot success are wrong. On January 31, 1999, General Schwarzkopf said, the Patriot destroyed 33 out of 33 Scuds. It did not. On February 15, 1991, President Bush said, the Patriot intercepted 41 out of 42 Scuds. It did not. On March 13, 1991, Army officials told Congress the Patriot intercepted 45 out of 47 Scuds. It did not. On April 25th, the Vice President of Raytheon claimed that the Patriot destroyed 90% of the Scud warheads. It did not. Only after we began our investigation did the Army begin to agree with us. Subcommittee investigators, a bipartisan group, examined in detail the evaluation performed by the Army and the Raytheon Company in support of these claims. We were the first and only congressional committee to ask the Army and Raytheon to prove its claims. They could not. Just last week, Army officials informed the subcommittee that they were revising their evaluation in response to subcommittee's investigation. The new estimate dramatically reduces the Army's view of Patriot's effectiveness. Army officials now believe that they can claim with high confidence that of the Scud warheads engaged, the Patriot destroyed only a small percentage. We will never have the full story of the Patriot unless the Army's analysis is declassified for all to see. But we know enough to want the Secretary of Defense to order an independent evaluation of this analysis by a group that does not have an interest in the outcome. I wrote Secretary Cheney 6 weeks ago requesting both declassification and an objective review. The Secretary has yet to respond to my letter. Some experts have concluded that the public video evidence reveals proof of Patriot failure. This subcommittee's investigation did not look for failure. We looked for proof of Patriot success. We looked for evidence that some of the 159 Patriots launched in the war destroyed Scud warheads. Today, we're going to hear the preliminary findings. Some experts are telling us that one or none of the Patriots hit the Scud warheads. This is a complex and controversial issue. Many lives and billions of dollars are at stake. I ask the members of the committee to keep an open mind as we proceed through the testimony today. In future conflicts, we could unnecessarily endanger soldiers' lives if we deploy the Patriot based on overly optimistic assessments of its capabilities. If American soldiers think that they can depend on Patriot battalions destroying 9 out of 10 enemy missiles when the actual defensive capability may be closer to 1 out of 50, it would be a disaster. If we know that but refuse to admit it, then the offense is criminal. And this is not something I intend to allow. I'd like now to recognize my friend of long standing, the ranking Republican member, the gentleman from New York, Mr. Horton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to note for the record that yesterday I transmitted to you a request from Secretary of the Army Stone that the Army be allowed to testify first at the hearing today. I transmitted the request informally through my staff and then yesterday evening in a letter which I wrote to you. The Secretary made his request because the Army has conducted an exhaustive analysis, shared it with me and the committee staff as well as with the county office just last week. GAO, however, according to its testimony, will focus on the old data. I'm disappointed that the very relevant and appropriate request of the Army would not be honored, that the stage instead will be set with a focus on old data. Once again, Mr. Chairman, I'm very disappointed the request was not honored. I would ask that my letter requesting the Army go first on behalf of the Secretary be included in
Here's
the record.
A scared representative.
Without objection, so ordered.
We're going to blitz all that. We're going to be very uncomfortable while we lie.
The story of the Patriot missile in the Persian Gulf is a good one. It's a story of heroes, of ingenuity, cooperation, of assistance, because of all of these factors worked, and it worked well. Mr. Chairman, on August the 2nd, 1990, President Bush told all Americans in the world that the invasion and occupation of Kuwait would not stand. From that day until the end of the war, I'm very proud to say that I supported the President and the decisions he made in directing a multinational war effort.
And I sure want to get
reelected. In the succeeding months, nearly 400,000 American servicemen and women were deployed to the Persian Gulf for training and ultimately for war under the most extreme and unpredictable of conditions.
Well, I'm going to let you wonder about it. And if anybody cares enough, we would have somebody, I don't know why I said that, we would have Jenny do it, of course. Can make a couple of copies to circulate, but it's now onto two tapes, and it did run like 7 hours.
Jeez.
And I want to tell you that the chairman's speech would have been different immediately after this meeting. There wouldn't have been enough he could put in it. This was like something out of slapstick comedy. The first ones to come in, you see, this one's going to complain because he didn't get to, I don't guess we want to burn up the set. Horton is complaining because they didn't change the format and get the impact in there that they wanted on the government side. The first ones to come on were a group of Israelis, and they think the Patriot is just the cat's meow. Now, how is it that there were not people hit in Tel Aviv for each scud that did, quote, supposedly land? There were practically no casualties. You paid them, you know, $3 billion or $10 billion or something like that for all that damage, you nice Americans, because they're little brothers and they were hurting, and somehow that war was your fault. They had evacuated Tel Aviv. It came out in this very thing. I'm not going to tell you something that you can't now get confirmation right off that video box. You have given absolutely uncountable billions of dollars into that little nation that betrays you every day and has literally come to be known throughout your world actually as your capital. You are known as Little Israel. You do not utilize your constitution. You are not allowed to. There were several other interesting things that the Army had to say. The military, when they got into their long dissertation and finally got to some question and answers after they put up all this blithering idiotic nonsense, graphs, screens, everything, and didn't like what even the Israeli panel said prior, and they should never have been allowed into the room. Aliens, undoubtedly. Well, the chairman finally got fed up, and he said, well, I want to know how many you hit. Because, see, they're going through all this mishmash about, well, we don't really know. Now, everybody was watching the same thing on television every day, every day, every day, and yet these Army generals and the assistant chief of staff coming to a congressional hearing and never even heard the president say that. Never even heard Schwarzkopf say that. And they never saw anything like that on television. And so they couldn't very well comment. Well, you heard what they said, and it was recorded. So, Mr. Chairman says, well, sir, tell us, how many exactly were intercepted? And then there is this foot dancing. I want to know how many you hit. More foot dancing. He said, I'm going to word it differently. How many did you hit? And his silence for a minute, and then he said, I want to know how many you intercepted. Really? The people have a right to know. Oh, well, sir, but you don't understand. Now, in this room, let me have a show of hands when I say what my interpretation of an interception is. That a missile's coming in, you fire a Patriot, it goes up, it intercepts, it hits it, right? Wrong. Everybody in here, you're wrong. This man sat there in a congressional hearing under oath, and he said the following. You don't understand, sir, what an intercept means. Oh, well, explain it to me. By now, he's getting a little frustrated. An intercept is when they fire a missile and we also fire one. And he was blank for a minute, and he said, are you telling me that if both of them are in the air at the same time, that's an intercept? Well, yes, sir. I mean, even if they miss, they come very close sometimes. And the chairman says, sir, are you telling me that an intercept, if one is going this way and another one goes this way, that's an intercept? Yes, sir. Now, this was said. This is recorded. Because I knew nobody would believe it. And with the percentage out of this room, and these ones are getting better and better and better at watching these things. You see, I insist that ones working with me watch CNN News twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening. They get absolutely zero news, but you know where things are going on and what the lies are. And you have some pretty significant clues going on. Mount Etna is erupting, and so is one in Nicaragua. You're getting close to the one in Italy and the one in Pelé. You better be listening. Because going to follow those prophecies, I can guarantee it, because they can make the volcanoes erupt. Your enemy, at the time, the Soviet Union, has got cobalt bombs lining all of your fault lines. They have over 100 of them under New York. And your government sat and watched and put them in there. But you see, they've outgrown that technology. They don't have to detonate cobalt bombs to make the fault go, because now you have particle beam systems, pulse systems, prana waves. You can, in 5 minutes, pulverize this planet by one of those getting out of control. And you're shooting them every day. Every day. All these nice big booms you're getting here, they've hooked up a whole grid work system. All that SDI, you know what they did? They just put in a massive grid system. Their second reason for it was to hook in with the banking community so that every one of you are in their computer. Now, I have patriots every day saying, and Christians. And I don't mean that to sound, that kind of came out like I'm talking down to Christians. I am not. You just don't know the difference between Jesus and Christ. You haven't found out the difference in physical and spiritual. And it's your spiritual that exists into infinity, that physical and all that goes with it, at the most, lasts 115 years in your county. And you don't get to take anything with you. Well, do you think we ought to start thinking about that? That's up to you. I would if I were you. But that's up to you. I would be finding out about it. And if they tell you that you're going to have a rapture, and everybody who believes that Jesus Christ died taking your sins are in great trouble. Every man, and this you'll find in your Bible also, every man, individual, will stand before God in judgment. Guess what that means? That means you and him. The most this Christ can do is petition in your behalf as to your ignorance. Father, be a little kind. They didn't know what they were doing. Well, son, why didn't they know what they were doing? I sent you down there to tell them. Yeah, but you know how they are. I made them nervous. And so it builds and it builds. And so the Christian community, guess what? Everything coming from outer space, extraterrestrial, is evil. Sent of Satan. How do you figure it? Anyone in here want to tell me where whatever you call him, Jesus Christ, is going to come from? You see, we can't quite cut it with the God energy. Because he's as near as a chest. Right there. Right there. You are the reflection. You are connected whether you like it or don't like it. And you're not going to tell him what he is going to do. He's just going to ask you if you did what he told you to do. And you will say, no, sir. Well, do you think you deserve to go out there where everybody lives according to my laws? Are you willing to do that? And if you say, yes, sir, I am, then you'll get passage. If you say, no, sir, I'm not, then guess where you're going to be? I don't need to tell you a 12-step program. I can simply tell you how it is. And then the next one is God would not speak to us in this tone. He would not yell at us. My goodness, don't you know he cares about you? Don't you know that I care about you? I cherish you. And I see you erring. You're going to lose all of those things. This world government is evil. It's evil. It is evil personified. It is the Antichrist. They call themselves atheists. And these other mouths, these lips, birth lips, comes right out of Skull and Bones, which is the most evil society. And it is a branch of the Committee of 300 Club of Rome. Let me tell you one of their little initiations. Now, I don't want to offend anybody in here who is a Freemason. So do not go out of here and misquote me. Because you are a Freemason down here and go to the lodge and serve your community, does that mean that you know what goes on at the higher level and what started the Freemasonry movement? Of course not. And you don't want to hear it, do you? If it's going to be negative. I'm not going to spout against anybody. God gives you the clues. God is as open as the morning sunrise. You check out what you do. If it is done in secret, check what you do in secret. What do you do after dark? Preferably behind bandages where nobody can recognize you, and you turn out the lights and you creep around hoping nobody sees you do, or you make anonymous phone calls. That's what the police are doing to you now. Call up, we'll give you $1,000 if you rat on your neighbor. Divide and conquer, tear down the family. It's all in the protocols. There is the list. It is the plan for the takeover of the world by evil. And that, friends, ends up being called hell. Oh, well, God wouldn't leave me in that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to disappoint you. He most certainly would. There will be the last opportunities to change your mind. And then, when we go for the last time, guess what? He who chooses the path of darkness will remain in the path and in the darkness. And that is called hell. Any way you spell it. The absence of God, light, and truth is hell. God wouldn't leave me. Yes, He will. He will leave you to your lessons. At the close of the great, great cycles in the universal order, there comes that wondrous moment when the One becomes perfection in Godness, and that is the One coming back. So He captains the ship. So I want you to think a minute. Where did you think He would come? How did you think He would come? Who did you think He would come unto? Where would He go? Where would He come? How will you know to expect Him? Will you recognize Him when He comes? Well, you've gotten a little head start. You're told that you will know. And if somebody tells you He's over in London or Tokyo, what does your own Bible tell you? He is not. That is so none of you will think on the false prophet who claims to be God returned. When He is ready to set down on this planet, I want to assure you that my ship is bigger than your planet. You will know when we get here. And you don't like the idea of going off in some UFO? Well, I want to tell you another thing.
I don't have anything unidentified, flying or otherwise. That's a silly, silly statement. In China, they call them pans, flying pans. You call them flying saucers. You may as well be in Disneyland with the teacups. Would God be so foolish? You limit him. Take off those limits. Take off your shackles. Let yourself out of prison. Regain your power that you were birthed with. You don't remember. It is the time of remembering. We talk reincarnation. Oh, precious ones, this is the time of awakening to what you are, which is infinite. Except that on your planet now, you've reached the time with the technology that can literally disperse the molecules. Well, you have the Oxford Press. That indicates that it came out of England. All right. Is it what version?
The King James Version.
Oh, hot dog. How many of you in here have a King James Version? Well, King James must not be too popular today. Do you think King James, a monarch who ruled almost all of the world at the time the King James Version was written, wrote it? He had it translated so that it would fit his needs. How many have a living Bible? Tell me, give me some names here. The what Bible?
Can you say that louder, please?
It's the Holy Bible from the ancient Eastern text, George Ann Lonsdale's Aramaic of the Peshitta
Bible. Well, that is really impressive, Desiree.
I wasn't impressed.
How many of you even know who wrote your Bible?
The American Bible Society. Good News Bible.
I have The Way by Tyndale Press.
Do you realize if you go into a Christian bookstore, you're going to get 300 versions of the Holy Bible? Oh. Now, you go to church on Sunday, and they have doctrines in their church, don't they? And they will tell you, God set these doctrines. Well, did he set all 300 or just that one? And then they will say, all right, to be a member of this congregation, you must believe every word in this book. Oh, I do, I do, I do, and I will face east to say it. Please. I am not making fun of the book. I am not making fun of your spirituality. I am trying to get you to think. You must think. God gave man one masterful gift that sets you aside as the most perfect of creation. Free will choices and the ability to reason. And you've turned your power over to somebody called King James. That's what hurts me. What's wrong with God? What's wrong with God? You are the living image of Him. And every last one of you was birthed in total, total perfection of spirit. That's what the image of God means. Not some face. The light of God. you were the perfect light of God, and immediately started going downhill. I want you to look at the other books that you brought. Because you couldn't find perfect peace within the pages as expressed to you, you're still seeking. You're still seeking. You don't realize when you found, you have sought for it for so long. And it's fine. Because what did I say? What does God do? He urges you to see it all. I did not say experience it all. There are laws given by God for human species. Those are the commandments. To every planet housing human species, there are a set of rules to live in total balance and harmony on a planet. And this planet of yours was created for 500 million people. I'd say somebody botched it up pretty bad. But let me tell you what the elite one world government is going to do. And they're already doing it. They're going to reduce it. No longer 6.5 billion people. They are planning. It is written, and your president has spoken it. In the Global 2000 plan for the New World Order, there will be 550 million people, period. Now, how much help do you think you're going to get curing AIDS? And when AIDS is gone, it's anthrax. In Europe, right now, with those missiles that went from China to Iran, that were all the hullabaloo, you know, you should get your stealth technology from China. You had a whole fleet out there, and you couldn't find one confounded ship. They must have good phantom stealth qualities. Those are capable of shooting anywhere intercontinentally. And they can fire computerized to a pinpoint, blink of an eye, a nuclear-powered missile, and they're all tipped with anthrax. And they are set to explode and scatter. That's your new wonderful technology. And guess what? You gave it to the Chinese. And it came from Korea. There would be absolutely no purpose in this journey if there were not reincarnation. None. The physical experience is for learning. You are birthed knowing the laws of God. What will you do with it? What will you do as you encounter all of these myriads of problems? I'll go to war and I'll get my Uzi machine gun. They have pulsed phasers now. You have the KGB and the Mossad training your police academies. You're getting ready to march right into the global government and the armed forces of the United Nations, which will be headed by a communist. It is written in the United Nations Charter. You signed the charter, or your president did, in your name. And a treaty stands above all things in your government. and you made a treaty with the United Nations. You no longer serve the Constitution of the United States of America. You just haven't heard it yet. But they're telling you every day, aren't they? They're telling you that they have the media fixed, and they tell you exactly what they want you to see and what you are to hear. And you can't get anybody on the air that speaks the truth. So why do they let us live in this community? They don't like it, because they know we've got more power. What a sorry state of affairs. They also know that we will not use it, because that would be violating your right as a human. And you must find your way to God in your actions. Well, we'll take up arms. You see, there are some groups around that get you citizenized in a state, and therefore you're no longer liable to the federal government. That's fine, except the federal government has a new set of rules, and it's called the New States of America. And that divides you into 10 districts and does away with state and county lines. And they already use it. You're in district so-and-so here. That is for their purposes. Well, you're hitting pretty hard, aren't you? And you're going to scare me. I hope so. I certainly hope so, because I want to demonstrate something else. I mean, I did bring all this stuff here. Well, I didn't quite bring it here. I got an argument about that. Oberle thought if I wanted it here, I should have brought it here. I want to just, when we talk about God and Space Command, or somebody on the other end of a telephone or transcribing and transmitting and receiving, I would like to have a little demonstration with you. And then there is a bit that I want you to watch on the television. And again, I'm going to have to prod her a little. I would like a show of hands of the number in this room who watched C-SPAN 22 and the Patriot congressional hearings. They've shown it 3 times this week. And in a minute, I'm only going to play like the first 10 minutes of the chairman's speech, because now the hearing is over and the results are in. And they found that they lied to you. I let him tell it. What about this box? All of you can see it, can't you? It's there. We're not playing David Copperfield, although wouldn't we like to? We just gathered up one, Georgia, like this. All of you should like it. I wish that I had time to play all of these through. Because in a minute you're going to see the man who could make a change in your world. Unfortunately, it probably will not happen, because he never even gets on television. And this man comes out of a background of CIA Special Forces. And he had to learn the very hardest way.
Very quickly is something that I feel is more heinous than the Bataan Death March. Certainly it is of more concern to you as Americans than the Watergate.
But does that make him go away? He's not in this room. This is Kun Sa. head of the greatest heroin cartel in the world, the Golden Triangle, and he was going to deal with Colonel Grimes. But I didn't put this up here for that reason. I just wanted to demonstrate. Did that make it go away? Let's drape it in the flag. Let's make it go away.
I suppose you know the theory about the refrigerator light too, huh?
Yes. All you Weight Watchers. Check that refrigerator light all night. Well, I tell you one thing we did. We made the machinery disappear. All right, let's see what else I can do.
Americans were lost and loud. Not one of them ever came.
Well, I'll tell you. This is the one worthy of this man. But this isn't what we're here to talk about.
With honor, all of the prisoners are home, and a few other lives. Now we got rid of that president.
I ought to make you stay
so
here.
We
didn't
get rid of the problem. We ran the war in Laos and Cambodia.
I'll just stop it. Well, there must be some way. I cannot handle your primitive equipment. I want you to know something. These turkeys tell you. In fact, I'll shut up so you can hear it.
And to study the success rate of
this
the
is today.
Program. In a meeting that lasted nearly 6.5 hours, the subcommittee heard from congressional investigators who have reviewed the Gulf War data, as well as officials from the Defense Department and Raytheon Corporation, one of the manufacturers of the Patriot system. We take you now to the Rayburn House Office Building for our coverage of Tuesday's proceedings, which were gaveled to order by Democratic Congressman and Committee Chairman John Conyers of Michigan.
Understand too that it fell into total disarray after this. Nothing came off in order. And the political ones put in all of their political nonsense.
Subcommittee will come to order. Good morning. Hearing will present the results of the subcommittee's 5-month investigation into the performance of the Patriot missile system in the Gulf War. The investigation is complex and fascinating. It's a story of how we projected what we wanted to believe onto the TV screen. It's about how a government can manipulate our understanding by controlling information and media access. And it's about how government can misuse secrecy and classification to hide the truth. During the war, we all watched the televisions in awe. We thought we saw the Patriots streaking skyward, destroying every Scud that came in range. We saw the fireballs. We heard the explosions. We saw the jubilation of the troops. And we heard the pride in officials' voices as they announced day after day, Scuds intercepted and destroyed. We were and still are proud of our troops who put their lives on the line. We We were and still are proud of the defense workers who worked hard and effectively to build a patriot, some of whom have since been laid off. We thought the Patriot missile was perfect. We were wrong. As Sherlock Holmes said, we see, but we do not observe. As a result of the subcommittee's investigation, we now have a much clearer picture of what happened a year ago in the Gulf War. Ironically, the more information we have, the less successful the Patriot seems. I can summarize a few of the preliminary conclusions of this investigation. We know that the classified assessment the Army has given for the past year to top administration officials and members of Congress is wrong. We know that the Army evaluation that backed up that briefing is deeply flawed. As a result of our investigations, we now know that the previous claims of Patriot success are wrong. On January 31, 1999, General Schwarzkopf said the Patriot destroyed 33 out of 33 Scuds. It did not. On February 15, 1991, President Bush said the Patriot intercepted 41 out of 42 Scuds. It did not. On March 13, 1991, Army officials told Congress the Patriot intercepted 45 out of 47 Scuds. It did not. On April 25th, the Vice President of Raytheon claimed that the Patriot destroyed 90% of the Scud warheads. It did not. Only after we began our investigation did the Army begin to agree with us. Subcommittee investigators, a bipartisan group, examined in detail the evaluation performed by the Army and the Raytheon Company in support of these claims. We were the first and only congressional committee to ask the Army and Raytheon to prove its claims. They could not. Just last week, Army officials informed the subcommittee that they were revising their evaluation in response to subcommittee's investigation. The new estimate dramatically reduces the Army's view of Patriot's effectiveness. Army officials now believe that they can claim with high confidence that of the Scud warheads engaged, the Patriot destroyed only a small percentage. We will never have the full story of the Patriot unless the Army's analysis is declassified for all to see. But we know enough to want the Secretary of Defense to order an independent evaluation of this analysis by a group that does not have an interest in the outcome. I wrote Secretary Cheney 6 weeks ago requesting both declassification and an objective review. The Secretary has yet to respond to my letter. Some experts have concluded that the public video evidence reveals proof of Patriot failure. This subcommittee's investigation did not look for failure. We looked for proof of Patriot success. We looked for evidence that some of the 159 Patriots launched in the war destroyed Scud warheads. Today, we're going to hear the preliminary findings. Some experts are telling us that one or none of the Patriots hit the Scud warheads. This is a complex and controversial issue. Many lives and billions of dollars are at stake. I ask the members of the committee to keep an open mind as we proceed through the testimony today. In future conflicts, we could unnecessarily endanger soldiers' lives if we deploy the Patriot based on overly optimistic assessments of its capabilities. If American soldiers think that they can depend on Patriot battalions destroying 9 out of 10 enemy missiles when the actual defensive capability may be closer to 1 out of 50, it would be a disaster. If we know that but refuse to admit it, then the offense is criminal. And this is not something I intend to allow. I'd like now to recognize my friend of long standing, the ranking Republican member, the gentleman from New York, Mr. Horton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to note for the record that yesterday I transmitted to you a request from Secretary of the Army Stone that the Army be allowed to testify first at the hearing today. I transmitted the request informally through my staff and then yesterday evening in a letter which I wrote to you. The Secretary made his request because the Army has conducted an exhaustive analysis, shared it with me and the committee staff as well as with the county office just last week. GAO, however, according to its testimony, will focus on the old data. I'm disappointed that the very relevant and appropriate request of the Army would not be honored, that the stage instead will be set with a focus on old data. Once again, Mr. Chairman, I'm very disappointed the request was not honored. I would ask that my letter requesting the Army go first on behalf of the Secretary be included in
the
record.
It was a scared representative.
Without objection, so ordered.
We're going to blip all that. We're going to be very uncomfortable while we lie.
The story of the Patriot missile in the Persian Gulf is a good one. It's a story of heroes, of ingenuity, cooperation, of assistance, because of all of these factors worked, and it worked well. Mr. Chairman, on August the 2nd, 1990, President Bush told all Americans in the world that the invasion and occupation of Kuwait would not stand. From that day until the end of the war, I'm very proud to say that I supported the president and the decisions he made in directing a multinational war effort.
And I sure want to get
reelected. In the succeeding months, nearly 400,000 American servicemen and women were deployed to the Persian Gulf for training and ultimately for war under the most extreme and unpredictable of conditions.
Well, I'm going to let you wonder about it. And if anybody cares enough, we would have somebody, I don't know why I said that, we would have Jenny do it, of course. Can make a couple of copies to circulate, but it's now onto two tapes, and it did run like 7 hours.
Jeez.
And I want to tell you that the chairman's speech would have been different immediately after this meeting. There wouldn't have been enough he could put in it. This was like something out of slapstick comedy. The first ones to come in, you see, this one's going to complain because he didn't get to, I don't guess we want to burn up the set. Horton is complaining because they didn't change the format and get the impact in there that they wanted on the government side. The first ones to come on were a group of Israelis, and they think the Patriot is just the cat's meow. Now, how is it that there were not people hit in Tel Aviv for each Scud that did, quote, supposedly land? There were practically no casualties. You paid them, you know, $3 billion or $10 billion or something like that for all that damage, you nice Americans, because they're little brothers and they were hurting, and somehow that war was your fault. They had evacuated Tel Aviv. It came out in this very thing. I'm not going to tell you something that you can't now get confirmation right off that video box. You have given absolutely uncountable billions of dollars into that little nation that betrays you every day and has literally come to be known throughout your world actually as your capital. you are known as Little Israel. You do not utilize your constitution. You are not allowed to. There were several other interesting things that the army had to say. The military, when they got into their long dissertation and finally got to some question and answers after they put up all this blithering, idiotic nonsense, graphs, screens, everything, and didn't like what even the Israeli panel said prior, and they should never have been allowed into the room. Aliens, undoubtedly. Well, the chairman finally got fed up, and he said, well, I want to know how many you hit. Because, see, they're going through all this mishmash about, well, we don't really know. Now, everybody was watching the same thing on television every day, every day, every day. And yet these army generals and the assistant chief of staff coming to a congressional hearing and never even heard the president say that, never even heard Schwarzkopf say that. And they never saw anything like that on television. And so they couldn't very well comment. Well, you heard what they said, and it was recorded. So Mr. Chairman says, well, sir, tell us how many exactly were intercepted? And then there is this foot dancing. I want to know how many you hit. More foot dancing. He said, I'm going to word it differently. How many did you hit? And his silence for a minute, and then he said, I want to know how many you intercepted. Really? The people have a right to know. Oh, well, sir, but you don't understand. Now, in this room, let me have a show of hands when I say what my interpretation of an interception is. That a missile's coming in, you fire a Patriot, it goes up, it intercepts, it hits it, right? Wrong. Everybody in here, you're wrong. This man sat there in a congressional hearing under oath, and he said the following. You don't understand, sir, what an intercept means. Oh, well, explain it to me. By now, he's getting a little frustrated. An intercept is when they fire a missile and we also fire one. And he was blank for a minute, and he said, are you telling me that if both of them are in the air at the same time, that's an intercept? Well, yes, sir. I mean, even if they miss, they come very close sometimes. And the chairman says, sir, are you telling me that an intercept, if one is going this way and another one goes this way, that's an intercept? Yes, sir. Now, this was said. This is recorded. Because I knew nobody would believe it. And with the percentage out of this room, and these ones are getting better and better and better at watching these things. You see, I insist that ones working with me watch CNN News twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening. They get absolutely zero news, but you know where things are going on and what the lies are. And you have some pretty significant clues going on. Mount Etna is erupting. And so is one in Nicaragua. You're getting close to the one in Italy and the one in Pelé. You better be listening. Because going to follow those prophecies, I can guarantee it, because they can make the volcanoes erupt. Your enemy, at the time, the Soviet Union, has got cobalt bombs lining all of your fault lines. They have over 100 of them under New York. And your government sat and watched them put them in there. But you see, they've outgrown that technology. They don't have to detonate cobalt bombs to make the fault go, because now you have particle beam systems, pulse systems, prana waves. You can, in 5 minutes, pulverize this planet by one of those getting out of control. And you're shooting them every day. Every day. All these nice big booms you're getting here, they've hooked up a whole grid work system. All that SDI, you know what they did? They just put in a massive grid system. Their second reason for it was to hook in with the banking community so that every one of you are in their computer. Now, I have patriots every day saying, and Christians. And I don't mean that to sound, that kind of came out like I'm talking down to Christians. I am not. You just don't know the difference between Jesus and Christ. You haven't found out the difference in physical and spiritual. And it's your spiritual that exists into infinity, that physical and all that goes with it, at the most lasts 115 years in your county. And you don't get to take anything with you. Well, do you think we ought to start thinking about that? That's up to you. I would if I were you. But that's up to you. I would be finding out about it. And if they tell you that you're going to have a rapture, and everybody who believes that Jesus Christ died taking your sins are in great trouble. Every man, and this you'll find in your Bible also, every man individual will stand before God in judgment. Guess what that means? That means you and him. The most this Christ can do is petition in your behalf as to your ignorance. Father, be a little kind. They didn't know what they were doing. Well, son, why didn't they know what they were doing? I sent you down there to tell them. Yeah, but you know how they are. I made them nervous. And so it builds and it builds. And so the Christian community, guess what? Everything coming from outer space, extraterrestrial, is evil. Send off Satan. How do you figure it? Anyone in here want to tell me where whatever you call him, Jesus Christ, is going to come from? You see, we can't quite cut it with the God energy, because he's as near as a chest. Right there. Right there. You are the reflection. You are connected whether you like it or don't like it. And you're not going to tell him what he is going to do. He's just going to ask you if you did what he told you to do. And you will say, no, sir. Well, do you think you deserve to go out there where everybody lives according to my laws? Are you willing to do that? And if you say, yes, sir, I am, then you'll get passage. If you say, no, sir, I'm not, then guess where you're going to be? I don't need to tell you a 12-step program. I can simply tell you how it is. And then the next one is God would not speak to us in this tone. He would not yell at us. My goodness, don't you know he cares about you? Don't you know that I care about you? I cherish you. And I see you erring. You're going to lose all of those things. This world government is evil. It's evil. It is evil personified. It is the Antichrist. They call themselves atheists. And these other mouths, these lips, bush lips, comes right out of Skull and Bones, which is the most evil society. And it is a branch of the Committee of 300 Club of Rome. Let me tell you one of their little initiations. Now, I don't want to offend anybody in here who is a Freemason. So do not go out of here and misquote me. Because you are a Freemason down here and go to the lodge and serve your community. Does that mean that you know what goes on at the higher level and what started the Freemasonry movement? Of course not. And you don't want to hear it, do you? If it's going to be negative. I'm not going to spout against anybody. God gives you the clues. God is as open as the morning sunrise. You check out what you do. If it is done in secret, check what you do in secret. What do you do after dark? Preferably behind bandages where nobody can recognize you. And you turn out the lights and you creep around hoping nobody sees you do. Or you make anonymous phone calls. That's what the police are doing to you now. Call up. We'll give you $1,000 if you rat on your neighbor. Divide and conquer. Tear down the family. It's all in the protocols. There is the list. It is the plan for the takeover of the world by evil. And that, friends, ends up being called hell. Oh, well, God wouldn't leave me in that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to disappoint you. He most certainly would. There will be the last opportunities to change your mind. And then when we go for the last time, guess what? He who chooses the path of darkness will remain in the path and in the darkness. And that is called hell. Any way you spell it. The absence of God, light, and truth is hell. God wouldn't leave me. Yes, He will. He will leave you to your lessons. At the close of the great, great cycles in the universal order, there comes that wondrous moment when the One becomes perfection in Godness, and that is the One coming back. So He captains the ship. So I want you to think a minute. Where did you think He would come? How did you think He would come? Who did you think He would come unto? Where would he go? Where would he come? How will you know to expect him? Will you recognize him when he comes? Well, you've gotten a little head start. You're told that you will know. And if somebody tells you he's over in London or Tokyo, what does your own Bible tell you? He is not. That is so none of you will think on the false prophet who claims to be God returned. When he is ready to set down on this planet, I want to assure you that my ship is bigger than your planet. You will know when we get here. And you don't like the idea of going off in some UFO? Well, I want to tell you another thing. I don't have anything unidentified, flying or otherwise. That's a silly, silly statement. In China, they call them pans, flying pans. You call them flying saucers. You may as well be in Disneyland with the teacups. Would God be so foolish? You limit him. Take off those limits. Take off your shackles. Let yourself out of prison. Regain your power that you were birthed with. You don't remember. It is the time of remembering. We talk reincarnation. Oh, precious ones, this is the time of awakening to what you are, which is infinite. Except that on your planet now, you've reached the time with the technology that can literally disperse the molecules.